Hello and welcome to the Self-Explained podcast. I'm your host, Katie O'Donohue, the self-care coach. And on this podcast, I'm going to be bringing you through all things relationships, self-love, and mindset. This is a podcast for those looking to elevate their level of consciousness, to increase their self-awareness, so that they can transform the relationship with their self and ultimately transform their life. So for today's show, I have Kate London on, who is an affair recovery coach, to talk about her personal journey and her work that she does. So Kate, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have this conversation because I haven't had an affair recovery coach on before. And I'm sure a lot of people will be like, ooh, this might be like a really interesting episode. So I'm dying to hear about your story and how you got to be where you are today, which is the usual question that I ask people. So if you want to give a bit of an introduction to yourself and who you are, any personal experiences that you've overcome, and yeah, you can take it away.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I appreciate that. So in affair recovery, I think most people would get the picture of, a couple going to get help because their relationship has just experienced infidelity. And that is the most common of what there is for affair recovery. What I actually do is a bit of a twist, and I coach the women that are the other woman, the mistress, that are in affair relationships and stuck, confused, conflicted. They don't know how to create change. They don't know how they got themselves into such a situation. So in regards to that, I am the person that they go to get help, guidance in creating change and turning their life around.
Amazing. And in terms of your own, because I know a coach gets into the line that they're in because of their own experiences. So there's obviously a backstory to who you are and how you got to be where you are today. So if you want to give a little bit about your personal experiences and any challenges that you kind of overcame in terms of your relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, definitely. So 100% what got me into this work was my own experience, and I was once the other woman, and the pain that I went through in that situation to me was such a great extent that I didn't want any other woman experiencing that pain, and I wanted to support women through that journey. Just going back before I got myself into that situation, I had always had the desire to be a psychologist or a counselor, someone helping people create their best life and their ultimate version of themselves. But what that would look like, I was still learning. And so for me, I got myself into a relationship that was 7 years, a long experience. And I was very young at the time. It was my first job. And this was with my boss. And I, for one, I think we attract experiences which we actually judge, and our soul is creating an experience for us to see different perspectives of that situation. And for me, I would 100% thought before I got myself into that situation that I would never ever do something like that. I would never settle for that. I would never get in the way of another person's relationship. I was more than that. I would think that is not me whatsoever. And yet I ended up in it and I felt powerless. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to walk away. I was so confused. And no matter how many times I said, like, this has got to stop, this is unhealthy, this is hurting me, I kept saying in this double life that I was living, and I didn't know how to end it. And so the woman that I had to become in order to create change in my life was that journey I find was incredible, because I definitely saw that woman have to rise to the surface in order for me to create change in my life. And when I did, I was like, whoa, like I can't, I can't let any other woman go through this experience and feel like she can't talk to anyone, or she's so shameful and she's just like judges herself. I literally thought I would go to my grave with this secret. I thought I would go to my grave with people being like, she's such a trustworthy person, someone you can always rely on, someone that totally has your back. And I was like, bullshit, they're like never ever going to know who I really was. And that was so painful. And I eventually completely shifted that around.
I mean, I can only like imagine, I can't even begin to understand how that must have been for you, especially at a long time. Because sometimes when people think of affairs or infidelity, they think, oh, it's just going to be something quick, or it's just going to be like a one night thing and that's it and it's over. But in terms of, you know, I guess, because a lot of the time on my podcast, I do talk about, you know, your psychological health and well-being. How was that for you through that time trying to manage it all? Did you have days where you woke up and you just thought that it was a dream or a fantasy? Or was it kind of like, no, this is me? But what was your experience in terms of how you handled that on a psychological level?
Yeah, what I did notice, for one, 100%, every single night I couldn't sleep, I was a wreck, I was in tears. And I think that like every person's situation and how they go about it is very different. For me, I never saw that relationship as one that I wanted long term. So I wanted it to end, and I didn't know how to end it. I knew that I was worth more than that, and I could deserve something that was healthy. So I didn't seek out to hope that he would leave his wife. I never wanted that. Yet I stayed for so long, and as much as I didn't want it, I couldn't leave. And so I was very conflicted there. In regards to the identity, what I did notice is that because I lived there, that was in my work environment, whenever I removed myself from the situation, I saw it clearly again. Like I kind of saw it like if you were to tell your best friend, I'm actually sleeping with a married guy, and your best friend's like, what? Like I kind of saw it from that situation every time I removed myself from the community, the environment. So when I went on a holiday or whatever, I was like, oh my God, what is happening? Like, why am I settling this? Why can't I change it? And I'm like, this is never again going to happen. And I would kind of like be like, no way am I wanting to be a part of that. And I would see it all kind of like my old self. I would see it all. And as soon as I stepped back in to that life, like it was instant. I had no power. I would just like fall into it. I couldn't see it clearly anymore. I was back into that reality, and I didn't know how to create change.
Wow. And in terms of like how he showed up in the relationship with you, did you feel like he was living a double life, or do you think his wife knew even?
That's a really great question, and one that I don't know the answer to. I'm not sure.
I mean, I thought I'd just like, ask anyway, you know, whether it was, you know, open relationships that maybe are disguised as closed relationships, so to say.
I think definitely she could have known, and that it was easier for her to not do anything about it and to let it be. Or she could have not known. I think definitely the first option could have been a high possibility, but I don't know.
And in terms of, you know, your wake up call, what was kind of that aha moment where you're like, today is the day I have my power back. I'm leaving this relationship. This is not me. I deserve better. I'm going to completely change everything around. Did you have like a day where that happened, or was it like a slow process where you were planning on how to do it and when would be the best time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So because I was so young, like I think I think like everyone goes through their own beliefs of what the situation means to them. Some other women are like, well, that's his choice if he wants to cheat, but I'm not the one that's committed myself to someone, so it's not my issue, or that kind of belief. But like for me, I was literally like, I am responsible. I'm creating this. I was like, so like, shocked at what I was doing, and so shameful that I literally told no one for 6 years. And I was too scared to go to a counselor. And eventually I did go to a counselor that was like 4 hours away. I was like, hopefully she knows no one. Like, I was like, what if she knows someone? What if she's like my mom's best friend's neighbor's dog sitter? I don't know. I just thought that the word would get out, and then suddenly you'd see me on the news. Like, she is like, I don't know. I just thought I'd get caught, and I was so petrified. And so eventually I saw a counselor, and even going into the counselor's office, I was like, I'm not writing my name on anything. And they're like, I'm sorry, honey, but you got to. I was like, I'm not putting my details down. So it was everything for me. I lost my virginity to this person. It was my first for everything. And so my whole life, I hated lying about a jelly bean in the fridge. Like, who took the last jelly bean? It would be like, I couldn't lie about that. I would not want to be someone that lies. And then my whole life became crafted around this ginormous lie. My sister, who I had my first kiss with, like, telling her had to be a lie. Everything, where I had been, everything just was a lie. And it was so hard living that lifestyle by myself. For me, what changed, sorry, I was seeing different counselors, and I was so, because he was my main point of contact for getting support. Like, I was obviously in this relationship with him, so I was asking for his help, but his help was only, he's in it with me. So his help could only be a one perspective. So I kept getting guidance from him when that wasn't the guidance that I was needing. And so when I was going to these counselors and everything, they would help me kind of relieve a little bit of like talking. Like, it felt good to be talking with someone. But after I left the counselor's office, I literally drove back, and he convinced me to keep going. And I just, I felt powerless. And I was so, I just felt like screaming at the counselor, being like, change it. Like, change me. Like, I don't know how to change it. And I was just so like, I felt so powerless. And what changed was, I actually was at a Tony Robbins event, and mm-hmm. I saw the security guard, and he was speaking to the security team, and I saw it from a distance, and he was like, you guys have come here for a reason. Make sure you get all your questions answered, and don't you dare leave this whole event without you getting those questions answered. And you keep asking them until you find the right person that's going to support you in getting the answer that you need to create change in your life. And I was like, I need to talk to that guy. I was like, well, he's going to help me. And so he was like this ex-military guy. He was like really scary, or not scary, but he was like forceful. And he was like, don't you settle, like, do what you got to do. You like, don't stop. And I went to him. Well, for one, I saw him speak, and it took me 7 days, like the whole duration of the event, to eventually go to him. And it was when you could see everyone was packing up the event and kind of like no time for talking that I decided, okay, we'll have to go to him. But I told him what I was going through, because I couldn't get any help that would help me shift it. And he was so cutthroat on... He kind of felt like my dad, not my dad, but he felt like a father figure that was like, so like, don't you dare let this be you. Like, you are so much better than this, and you are allowing it to be you. And I kept trying to say, I have to protect the family. I feel like if I leave that their family will crumble, or that he will hurt his wife, or something like that. And I kept creating these stories of what was keeping me stuck. I didn't want him hurting his wife. I didn't want the family crumbling. I wanted the best for the family. And I thought that genuinely me staying around was keeping the peace. And so I was telling this this guy at this Tony Robbins event all these stories that I didn't realize were the ones that were keeping me in the situation. And when I could find out that they were the stories that were keeping me stuck, then I could release them.
And in terms of how those stories kind of came into being, was there any kind of indication from his side that, let's say, he might have manipulated in you into staying there? I know you said that he had manipulated you in some way, but in terms of how that bond was between you, was it trauma? Was it narcissism, codependent? What were kind of the dynamics that you felt like you were stuck in that relationship?
Yes. So because I was so young, I didn't know what manipulation was. I didn't know any of this. And I grew up believing that a relationship is 100%, 100%. Like, you put in your 100%, they put in their 100%. And I just kept putting the responsibility on myself. Like, I have chosen to stay in the situation, so I can choose to leave. And I kept saying that. And so I didn't know anything about manipulation or anything like that. So I was just like, I've created this experience, which I did. And I can choose to leave, which I could. But I didn't know why I couldn't leave, when if I wanted to, I can always leave. Like, I wasn't being chained down. 100%. There was, what was your question? Sorry.
The kind of dynamics in the relationship, just because I know, you know, sometimes there can be one person who invests way more than the other. And sometimes that other person is so comfortable taking things and gaslighting the other person, basically. Yeah. And yes, telling them that, you know, if you leave, you're never going to have as good as me, or, you know, you're not going to be loved, kind of a thing. So I'm just kind of want to see what kind of dynamics.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A great question. I was definitely very impressionable, being a young girl and him double my age. I don't like ever say blame the dynamics around anything. Like, I still take full responsibility for myself for being in that situation. But I do know that there was stories that I truly believed. Like, for me, I had an illness when I was in school, so I didn't go to like high school. The last 3 years of school, I was completely out. And when I went out to this situation, he was there saying that he was going to be my teacher, and to help me on all the sexual things that I had missed. And I thought that he was genuinely wanting to help me, and that although my body shut down and didn't want that to happen, I thought he was genuinely caring for me. So there was definitely an element of definitely a power play at play, which I don't go too much into, into that side of things, because I go more so into the affair side of things. Like, I still stayed in that relationship, but 100% I was impressionable, and 100% I often said no many times and just felt powerless, that that was the only way I could get love from him. In the workplace, that because it was so stressful, the only time that I would get his approval was if I was doing what he wanted sexually.
Okay, so you were kind of objectified in a way, by the sounds of it, that, you know, you were his sexual object of desire. But yeah, in terms of women who find themselves in that position, whether it's exactly the same almost or similar, what kind of advice would you give to them if they feel powerless, if they feel stuck, they're in the relationship, don't know why they're still there, knowing deep down that it's not really right, it's not healthy? What advice would you give for women who are trying to break free from that?
Yeah, I think like that. So there's so much to learn on this. And I think the number one thing is, no matter how powerless we feel in a situation, we still have complete control over what we want to make of it. And so one of the key factors here is, no matter what is said, really listen to your body. Like, your body has the answers. And I think that's where we can really get tripped up, is we can feel in a situation we're in, we can feel so confused. We can feel torn between going this direction or going this direction, and so conflicted around what's right. And often it's because our head is saying something, maybe in the relationship, our partner is believing something that we deep down in our body feel differently about. And so I think the number one thing here is to listen to your body and how it's reacting to certain experiences, because it ultimately has so much wisdom that we can't always hear with our head, if that makes sense.
Yeah, amazing. That's such powerful words that you had, to listen to your body. And in terms of, you know, how to kind of strengthen that connection to your body, is there any advice that you would give to women? Because I know a lot of people might not be in tune with their body. They might not know what emotions kind of mean in certain situations. Is there any kind of advice you would give there in terms of how to develop that strength, that connection to
your body? Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things is just slowing down. So often when we're feeling a stress, we can go towards chocolate or alcohol or a connection with a lover or people, or like these dependencies. And what I would first do is, as you said in our other podcast recording, is like you can feed that need, but first listen to it. First acknowledge it so that you can actually build awareness around it. So if you just stop and like create stillness for even just a minute and see where the tension is lying in your body, and just breathe into it and say, like, what is coming up right now? And just allow yourself the time to settle in and feel what you're feeling, because otherwise we just suppress it. We just go straight into chocolate or straight into a person or straight into alcohol, and or literally, like, it's so unconscious to straight into doing something without actually acknowledging what's coming there. So what I would just number one suggest is just give your, for a lot of my clients, they set 3 alarms during the day and they just come up and it's just like, just breathe for 5 breaths and just say, what am I feeling right now? Like, where am I feeling it? That's all. That's it. Just start feeling.
Amazing. It's such powerful advice as well, when you bring it back to the breath and really kind of hone in on those inner voices as well that's coming up for you. Is there any kind of time in your life where you kind of just took a step back from what you were going through and realized that actually you needed to pay attention to that inner voice and that it knew what was right all along? Was there any kind of moment that you had where you're like, I trust myself, I can do this?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think that's what the gift in these like experiences. Like, I am so grateful for the affair that I was in, and I'm so thankful. Like, I have only love and care for my affair partner, and for, like, although that whole experience was extremely emotionally challenging and I felt in my darkest times there, I only feel gratitude towards it, because that pain led me to so much joy after I could come through it. And back to like allowing yourself to listen to yourself, who, like, now after experiencing that, like, I can set boundaries so well, and I can speak my truth and things like that, because I had to do it on a whole nother level. Like, I had to confront things that were so scary to me that when I confronted those, all these other things in life just became easy. So I definitely think that that opportunity in my life was there for a reason, that it came because I wasn't speaking my truth. I wasn't able to speak up for myself and what felt right or what felt wrong. And because of that, I got myself into that situation. And because of that, I also learned how to do it.
Amazing. So many lessons going on through your journey. In terms of when you kind of had stepped away from it, because I know there'd be a fear for people who have listened to this. Maybe they're still in a relationship where it is an affair, but they're afraid that no one's going to be there to support them. Did you have support, you know, when you broke it off, like people that were accepting, I suppose, that it was not something that defined you as a person, so to say? They were just welcoming to you and able to support you through your healing journey, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, that it's not on your own to do and to deal with, so to say, because that will be a fear for people to open up and actually admit to the truth to their friends.
Oh yeah, that was a ginormous fear of mine for ages. And you know what? I think for me, one of the biggest like personal growth, like this energetic shift that happened within me, and I felt it like instantly. Like I felt my whole energy change when it happened. I felt like, so they became like this, the affair people that are around that community, they became my family. They felt like my family, my number one family, when I was in this workplace and experience. So when I was going to tell my family, and I also ended up telling the wife, I felt that that was the right thing to do. I felt she deserved to know. I know many people have different beliefs, but that's what I felt aligned with. I literally was ready to be an outcast. I thought that no one would ever love me again. I thought that everyone would judge me. I thought that everyone would think, "What? Like, how did you get yourself into this situation?" and just think very poorly of me. I also thought that no one would ever trust me again, from my family and also from that new family that I created. So I literally thought I would have no one. And to be honest, facing that and moving through it anyway and being like, but this is what I feel is right to do, and this is what I need to do for me to move through this story that is holding me back, and whatever comes of it is what comes of it, and knowing that if I don't ever get love in the future because everyone thinks poorly of me, then I guess that's what is going to happen. When I move through that, honestly, rejection in life and everything is like, I feel so whole. Like, I don't care about what people think anymore. I went public in supporting women who are the other women, and I get so much hate from people who have been cheated on, so much. And it makes sense because it's painful, and I can sympathize with them and feel for them, and I don't feel their hurt onto me, if that makes sense. Because I felt like I faced that ginormous fear when acknowledging to my most loved people in my life that that's what I had been doing. So back to that, for one, if you feel like you're going to lose the love, trust me, in your own personal journey, like, you got to choose what you ultimately want, not the fear of the rejection that you seek. Because if we stall at the fear of the rejection, then you're going to hold on to the lifestyle that you're living. So you really got to choose, like, what are you willing to stand for? And if you're just stopping at the fear of not being loved, then you're going to settle for this medium love or whatever it is that you're settling for, simply because you're fearing a potential reality in the future that's not necessarily true. It's just something that you've created in your mind. The other thing is, with telling people, it is like, I absolutely felt that everyone would judge me. And what I learned was, one, people really, your closest connections really do care and have the best intentions for you, and they too have had crazy experiences. And when you open up and be vulnerable, it offers them the space to be vulnerable too. And so you actually never know what they're holding back in their life as well. What I found when I was vulnerable is that, oh my gosh, like there's some crazy stories and people are all holding them back. Like everyone's life is unique and wonderful, and it's not just yourself who is going through this. What I have learned from going public as a coach helping people in affairs is when I say that out in public, so many people come up to me and they're like, I've experienced that too. Like it's most of the people instead of the other way around. So you're not alone. You're really not alone.
And I just want to touch on one more thing before I leave you go, because I love that you actually kind of negated those fears for women who are listening, or men if they're in an affair, to know that they aren't alone if they just open up and create that space. But in terms of, you know, why affairs happen, you know, in relationships, have you any kind of opinion or beliefs about why you think so many relationships out there these days are either experiencing infidelity, or they're straying away from monogamy, or they're just not functioning and healthy? Do you have an opinion on that as having been the other woman? But I'm not sure if you're in a healthy relationship now, or what you are in, if you're single or if you're taken, or what your commitment levels are. But do you have an opinion of that, basically?
Yeah, I think that's such a super broad question, because affairs can happen on so many different levels for so many different reasons. One of the big things that I do in my work is really getting clear on what you're willing to, what you want in your life, what you ultimately want in your life, and setting that standard first before you seek it in someone else. Because if we're going into relationships trying to fulfill unmet needs without meeting them first within ourselves, then there's going to be a part of the relationship that's never going to be fulfilled. So what I recommend is, or not what I recommend, but what I feel is powerful is, one, ultimate vulnerability is in relationships, is constantly having that vulnerability. And that is challenging. And if it creates challenges in the relationship, then they're obviously meant to come up. And if they can't be dealt with, then that's when I think we as people need to ultimately, we as women, you've got women and men on your podcast, right?
Yeah.
That's where we need to be clear on what we want in a relationship and set the boundaries there, so that we can decide what's healthy and what's not. And what I said in our other podcast before, people either rise to that boundary and stand for it, or they'll fall away because they're just not willing to stand for it. But so often we choose the path that's less traveled. Hold on a second. I've got my battery has just come out. Like it's my computer was about to die. So often we choose the path of least resistance, and that's where the gap in relationships happen. If we can close the resistance and not be afraid to face conflict, confrontation, then ultimately these gaps in the relationship won't happen, because we face them before it gets too big, before the monster becomes a monster.
Yeah, that's really powerful in what you just said. Before I leave you go, I'm going to ask if you think there's anything that I haven't brought up in the conversation that maybe people out there might want to know in terms of infidelity, whether it's breaking away or managing that within a relationship. Do you think I've left anything out?
No, I think that we covered, I think, well, for one, we covered one perspective. For me, my story was a perspective of infidelity. I know a lot of people that are listening on this call, for my situation, I was quite young. And there's in that, and there are many young people that experience infidelity, but there's also often infidelity in regards to it being so fulfilling and thriving in the unfaithful relationship, and they don't know how to create change. So what I just want to touch on quickly is that the story that I covered in today's episode was one infidelity story, when there is so many different infidelity stories. Everyone is unique, And I definitely just covered on that one perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's what people have to bear in mind. You know, throughout this podcast, it's your beliefs, it's my beliefs, and they can take away what they want to take away from it at the end of the day as well. But you've given many powerful lessons and views, I think, throughout that, especially for any woman in a similar position to be able to say, you know, I'm not the only one, so to say, that they know there's other people out there. And for them to be able to reach out to you, Kate, if anyone is listening to this podcast, has a friend or is in that position themselves or know someone who might need to reach out to you, where can they find you? If you want to give your plug.
Yeah, mostly I'm on Instagram and YouTube, and my URLs for that is, I've forgotten the word for it. What is it? The account handle. Name?
Yeah.
The handle. That's the word.
I was like, am I getting it wrong now?
I'm like, what is that? Yeah, the handle. The handle for that is KateLondon01. So that's on YouTube and Instagram, and you can find most of my stuff on there. And you can also reach me at katelondon.com.au. And yeah, essentially all the stuff that I cover is supporting women's journey through being the other woman, being the mistress, in regards to them seeking the answers that they're looking for to feel whole again. If you're feeling broken, if you're feeling challenged, if you're feeling torn, conflicted, and don't know how to create change, and you're ready to create change, then ultimately that is what I do on the work that I do.
Amazing. And you have online programs at the moment as well, just for anyone who's curious, being like, ooh, what does she offer?
Yeah. I have a short course that's called Becoming Whole Again. And that is for women that are in affair relationships. And again, feeling powerless to create change. You might not know how to create or what change to create or what's the right thing to do. You're stuck on the right decision to make. That Becoming Whole Again course is to help you get clear on what you ultimately want, how to set boundaries, and move forward in that direction.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Kate, and for opening up and sharing your story, because like I say, I haven't had someone on before I do this, and it's been such a pleasure to have you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely is a different one, but it's very fulfilling, that's for sure.